shift gears and get in faith, get in a place of expectation. You know, because all through the Bible, I say it a lot because, you know, faith comes by hearing. I say it a lot because that's a revelation to me that when we're in a place of expectation, it brings a manifestation all through the Bible in their gathering places. You know, one place, but the titles Don't Limit God, you can go ahead, Beth. You know, in one place in the Bible where there was somebody sick on their deathbed and all that, and they went where Jesus was preaching in the synagogue or wherever he's at, and they couldn't get him in there because of the crowds. So they climb up on the roof, pulled him up on the roof, took the roof up and dropped and just lowered him down. That's amazing, isn't it? That was faith in action. They knew that if they could get him in the presence of Jesus, that he'd be healed. And the Lord just quickened me one time. He said, their faith took the limits off of God. Their faith took the limits off. It took faith to climb on that roof, you know, take the roof off and lower the man down in there. And he did. He got healed. He got his healing. But that was unlimiting God to do what he does best, praise the Lord. And that's what the Lord spoke to me today. He said, don't limit. He said, I want you to title it, Don't Limit Me. And he began to remind me, which he has my whole Christian life and stirs it back up at different times in me, you know, how they limited him. Psalm 78 says that they limited the Holy One of Israel through unbelief. They were going through the motions. They were still out there. But I began to study a little bit about it, a little deeper over into Exodus. And see, they had been in slavery. You know, they'd been in bondage under slavery. And they didn't grow their own. They probably had the slave to grow. But they got food every day. They got, you know, leeks and, I mean, melons. And they got stuff to eat every day while they were in bondage. You know, and God... And then God wanted them free from bondage. Just like, that's a picture of us today, you know. We're bound by darkness and all kinds of things, and he wants us liberated. And then he comes and we surrender to him when he draws us. And then we come out of the kingdom of darkness, and we're transferred over into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. And a lot of times we don't really feel it and experience it until we walk with God a while. You got to walk with God, hallelujah. And so he sends Moses in there, and Moses tells them there's a land flowing with milk and honey that God is going to take you to. I imagine Moses told them, look, you're in slavery. They're telling you what to do, when to do. You don't get paid. You get to eat or whatever. You know, but God wants you free. He wants you living in your own houses, your own vineyards, your own wells, and you know, they'd went and told, and that story rings to us today. It speaks life to us today, you know, that God will take us from where we are into his vision for us, and it's a good life. I call it a good life. Life is good. Life has been good to me for 30 years serving God. I had a few good years without God, but compared to with God, I didn't have no good years, you know, And so I begin to go back and study just a little bit, you know, into why. Why? I mean, they've seen miracles. The Bible says, put that 1 Corinthians 10 before I go on. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That just means not knowing. How that all of our fathers were under the cloud, talking about them when they come through the Red Sea and all that, and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized into Moses. And what that means is, you know, God said, Moses is your leader. Moses is the one that I've given instruction how to get you there. In other words, so they were baptized into Moses under his leadership in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And all did drink the same spiritual drink. So that tells me, you know, they all had the faith. They all had faith. God had given them a word. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So they had faith. They were drinking. And it says that spiritual rock was Christ. That was over yonder in Exodus. You know, when Paul's writing this to the Corinthians, He said, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And I believe that I've seen it over the 30 years I've been a Christian, you know. I've seen them, God's people, be overthrown. I've seen them start the church and get on fire for God and start walking with God, just excited that they're saved and all of that stuff, you know, and walk just a little while and learn some things about the kingdom of God, and then troubles and trials come their way and they're overtaken by them. They stop doing the things that was causing them to have victory. Hallelujah. And how many knows we're living in a time, but I'm telling you, 2025 is our year. I mean, for the glory of God, we see it all the way. We prayed and we fasted and we believed God for every election. But I mean, for real, this one, you know, and you've got a lot. There's scripture in the Bible says that they won't even see when good comes. I mean, good can just bite them and they'll be, that's bad, you know. And the Lord showed me like this one time. He said, you know, some, he said, they see, if you've got a half a glass of water, they see you've only got a half a glass. He said, but you see it, you've got a half a glass. Praise God for the half a glass, you know. And that's one of the things that they didn't do in the wilderness. You know, they didn't praise God for the manna. But I began to study a little bit about it, you know, and they got tired of eating the same thing. They started saying, well, we had leeks and we could eat melons and we had this and we had that. And now we only have this and water. Come on, somebody, what I'm saying here is, you know, you got to praise Him when you ain't got nothing but Him. You got to praise Him when you don't see the promises manifesting in your life. I mean, until you do see them. Caleb and Joshua didn't look at the only manna. They didn't look at only water. You know, they didn't look at all of that. They were going to that place that God said. Well, I mean, you can overthrown. You can limit God. They limited God from doing more than what He wanted to do in their life. He couldn't keep them healed. He couldn't keep them safe. I mean, He couldn't keep them from being, they all drink of the same spiritual rock. They all had the same opportunity. You know, there's been times in my life when, I remember one time I was telling Teresa today, you know, and I knew about this story a long time ago, and I thought, God, help me. I'm going to endeavor never to limit you, not to limit you in my marriage, not to limit you in my finances, not to limit you in my relationships with my family. Now, a lot of that takes effort because you got to walk by faith. I mean, you got to develop love like Teresa. Love will cause you to live selfless. Brother John Adedola will be with us Sunday. And he talked about some of the oppression and different things, and he'll tell you the story. I ain't going to tell you much about it. And so anyways, he messaged me this morning, and he said, and I like what he said. He said he's wondering, he's going to drive to Alabama. And I said, yeah, come on Sunday. We want you to come Sunday. And all of that. And then my next thought was, I wonder if he's got somewhere to stay. You know, so I messaged him and I said, have you done got somewhere to stay? No, I haven't got nowhere to stay. I'm just going to drive down. He drives by faith. Well, I said, oh, okay. And so I go to Arab and I go to the motel and I go in there and I had him to text me his name because I can't pronounce it. His first name, you know. And when I told the lady, she said, how do you say that? I said, I don't know. I said, that's why I'm spelling it to you. I don't know. I would butcher it. But anyways, I told her, I said, listen, I said, I got a missionary coming down. I said, and he's going to be in service with us Sunday at my church. I said, and I want to rent him a motel for Saturday night. I said, what you got? She looked and she said, we don't have but one room. I said, that's all I need. He by himself. I said, you only got one room out of the whole motel. It's a big motel. Yeah, and I thought, this is God. So anyways, I remember, and then I took a picture of it, you know, the address, and I had her to put his name on it. We're delighted that you had a Benawehu or whatever. Ben Yehuda. I'm not going to try to say that Sunday. I'll just say Brother Adedala. I know that one. But I had it on there, and I said, there, sir, we're delighted, Ben Yehuda, whatever, Adedala, that you're going to, you know. And so I just took a picture of it. And I told him, she said, he's going to need to bring his ID. I said, he better have some or we're going to deport him. She said, I'm slow of thinking. I hadn't even thought about that, which I was just being funny, you know. And I said, he'll have it. I said, he'll have his ID with him, you know, where he can get there. But anyways, I've sent it to him. And I told him, I said, Brother Adedala, I said, I've rented you a motel, you know, and all you need to do is bring your ID and everything. And this is what he said. He said, I want you to go back and tell your church and tell your family, thank you for your selfless sacrifices that you have made. And I thought about it. I thought, that's what we've been being taught about love. Love is, don't think about itself. Love thinks about, see now look, this love is a key to, I mean, they should have stayed in love with God for delivering them in the wilderness. They should have been thankful to God that you brought me out from under bondage. Thankful to God that you are taking me to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Their heart, the Bible says they turn back in their hearts. Not in their, you know, Caleb and Joshua. See, your heart is going to determine if you make it into the promises or not. And walking in love, in the love of God, causes your faith. You can't break me financially. You can't break a Christian financially that walks in love and walks in faith. They coming up. They're going up and up and up and up. It's not that they get broker and weaker and sicker. I'm talking about they come out of poverty. They come out of being bound all the time with sickness. Aubrey got stung by a wasp or whatever it was. She was allergic to them back in her. And they give them EpiPens. I guess that's what you call the stuff. But I declared over her. I declared over her and I said, you're going to grow out of it. In the mighty name of Jesus. How many knows that God calls those things that be not as though they were? Now, it was looking like that she's going to be this way for a long time. Most of them don't know how the supernatural power of God can work. Now, a lot of them does. They're Christians. A lot of doctors are Christians. Doctors are Christians. Well, you know what? That she goes back a year or two later, gets tested, prayed God, and she's not allergic to him anymore. Hallelujah. I simply refused to allow that to stay on my grandbaby when I got the promise of the Father in here, and I'm not going to turn back in my heart and limit God from doing the Word in her life. Now, I just laid that out simple and plain and easy in English and see, God's not complicated. You know, just like the tariff. They call it a tariff war. It's not a tariff war. It's a genius. It's God in the White House putting tariffs on all these countries that has been taking advantage. How many know Satan takes advantage of you if you let him? That's been taking advantage of the United States for decades. Not just a year or three, decades. You know, and I have said it for years, you know, because especially once I got born again, I thought I'm not going to put my life and trust my enemies with my life. I don't trust Satan. I don't trust him. But anyways, all those tariffs brought them to the table. Now there's going to be a worldwide 10% tariff except for China. Well, Satan wants to let you go so far and then get you to crush. See the media, boy, he's going to cause a recession. I got money in the stock market, and it went down and down and down, and people's 401s and all of that, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, it's not going to happen because Proverbs 10:22 is mine. The blessing of the Lord makes not the stock market, not my garage door business, not our clock in and clock out jobs. God, you're the one that prospers. I'm not going to limit God in my heart like they did in the wilderness. They had their circumstances. We have our circumstances. We have the same God. We drink the same spiritual rock. That rock today is Christ Jesus. In the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, it says, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 13. There had no temptation taken you. People says God won't allow no more to come on you than you're able to bear. That's not scriptural. That's demonic. That's not scriptural. That's demonic. God don't put nothing on me and you. God does not put nothing on me and you. That doctrine's out there. I heard it for years, and I would combat it and say that's not what the Scripture said. You're thinking God's bringing this bad hardship on you. You're thinking because you've heard it preached in church or whatever, wherever you've heard. I said, but get the Scripture and make it clear to yourself. It says, there has no temptation taken you but such as cometh with man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. He won't let no more come on you than you are able to stand under. He says, tempted you are that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I don't know temptation to fear, temptation to talk again. Jesus made a statement in there when he was talking about food and clothes and all that. He said, take no thought saying. When you have a thought, don't say it. Unless it's a God thought, a Bible thought. Because once you say it, you take that thought. You embrace that result. Hallelujah. And that's what they did out there in the wilderness. We're tired of this manna. They should have been saying, God, I praise you for where I'm at. I might have the worst job on the planet, God. I might be in the worst place, the most uncomfortable place that I could ever be in, but I praise you for your supply where I'm at. I praise you, God. I might be on the bottom, God, but I'm going to the top. I thank you, Lord, right now I might be under affliction, but I'm coming out. There's light at the end of this tunnel. Used to people, they'd tell me, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And I just told somebody today, they're calling me, telling me all about all their problems and blah, 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 you know. And I'm not saying blah, 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 that I didn't care. And I said, well, I said, it's okay. I said, this is just a season that you're going through, but don't let this season take you under. Don't limit the Lord, in other words. Hallelujah. Well, it says that there can nothing come, a power of anything, and overtake you. That's what he said. He said there's nothing. Not no financial, not no family trouble, not no financial trouble, not no ministry trouble, not no relation trouble. The only way, you know, I had this saying one time, you know, you can't sink a ship unless the water gets in the ship. And I've made up my mind, you know, I even brought that to the church here. Every now and then I'd bring it up and I'd tell the little poem and all of that. But it was biblical. You know, I mean, there Jesus was in a great storm with the disciples, you know. But Jesus was resting. You know how you rest? I mean, at one time over this last couple of 3 weeks, my mind was bombarded every day. I'm talking about, I bet you I cast thoughts down about this, about my business. If I did it one time, I did it 150 in one day. It was trying to get me to fear. And no temptation, but I had to do something. I had to cast those thoughts down, and I had to talk to Satan and tell him no weapons formed against me will prosper. In other words, what I was doing is I was not looking at the thing that I was in and saying, oh God, I was good till this trial come, and why do I have to have trials in everything that I do? And blah. See, that's murmuring and complaining. That's griping. That's not being thankful. And that'll rob your faith. You can know the scripture and do that, and it'll rob you of your faith. I believe they allowed their talking and their actions to rob them from their faith. I believe if they'd have just hung on to that word, they'd have said, this wilderness, this desert's nothing. This is just a season we're going through. Praise God, and we're not going to complain. They complained about Moses. And he says they were baptized into Moses. They said, trust Moses. I'm giving him the strength. I'm giving him wisdom. Just like men today of the family, you know, we're baptized into Jesus. You know, we have an anointing from the Lord to lead our families into victory, to be the peacemaker in our home, hallelujah, to be financial, you know, we have an anointing to make financial decisions, and God will give you, He'll give you decisions. I mean, like one time, I'm acknowledging the Lord, I learned Proverbs 3:5 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and I was just endeavoring to do that, you know, trying to learn how to trust the Lord with all of my heart, you know. That's a challenge when you ain't never trusted Him, you know. And so anyhow, I'm praying one morning and I'm saying, God, what do I do? You know, business. I was praying about my business, exactly what I was praying about. We just started business. That's been 30 years ago nearly. And the Lord dropped it in my heart and He said, go north. And so Preston, my brother, me and him were partners at that time. He came in, you know, and I said, I'm going north. I sold 3 days a week. That's what I did, 3 days a week, and book work 2 days a week, and running, checking jobs and different things. I did a lot of that. I didn't do a lot of installing. We had 4 or 5 trucks running. And so anyways, I said, I'm going north. And he said, I don't like north. I like south. I said, God told me to go north, whether you like it or whether I like it or not. I said, God said to go north. I said, now, you know, and if you really look at it, you know, that's what they said in the wilderness. We're sick of going this way. We want to go back. See, look, God is going to take your life from what you're used to. The norm in your life, the just shalant. God, when you start following Jesus and you start going after His promises, you are going to get out into a life that you have to trust Him. You got to get out into it. He's going to lead you out of the normal, what you're used to. I mean, we got one sitting right here, right there. Not a people person, shy. I thought, man, he's lying. This guy ain't shy at all, you know. But anyhow, you know, I mean, Mac, he used to be like, he'd, you know, be with us food or something like that, and before we could even get our thing swallowed, he's leaving. I mean, he likes his alone time. And God says, it's not good that man's alone. And so what God does, He puts him in church, right? Puts him in a nursing home, right? Puts him in touch where he's got to be around people. He's got to develop. Now all I hear is, oh, I want them to know that I'm affiliated to the church. I want them to see now. And I mean, that's one of his things, right around on the lawnmower. Yep, there goes that one I did drugs with. Yep, there's another one over there. Oh, yeah, they're getting to know now. This is the church. Well, what happened? He got born again. God brought him out of that secluded life and brought him into a joyous life where he enjoys some folk. You're coming on up. Teresa sat there the other day and shocking to me. I mean, she's been one of them, not a people person, you know. Don't get out of the norm. Don't get out of Scotty's house shoes all kind of stuff, you know, and all of that stuff. And she goes to doing these sermons on love and all of that stuff. How many knows you can't feast on the Word and it not get in you and start to move you out of the norm? Out of. And we got to be comfortable about being changed constantly. Let Him change us. Let him take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Let Him. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, you know, I'm going to fix things. Get out of that thinking. Well, I'm bound to garage doors. If garage doors, nah, get out of that thinking. Well, I'm bound to 40 yards. Nah, get out of that thinking. You're never bound to the, but you're bound to the Word. You're bound to victory. When you stay in faith and don't complain, you're bound to victory. I was sitting there yesterday and she said, oh, I just had this thought. That was when? Or was that today? She said, I just love them people in that food line. I thought, are you serious? This is a miracle. I feel like I just love them. And I thought, right now I'm going to spank half of them. I love them sometimes. I'm working for Jesus, right? And I thought to myself, that's the way it is, you know. But love will cause you not to be thinking about yourself all the time. Satan wants you on your mind on your problems all the time, so you could, because it's got you in hardship and all of that. But the Bible says that if we keep our mind stayed on the Lord, He'll keep us in perfect peace. He says it's because we're trusting in Him. Well, you know what? I went on, you know, and that job is trying to ride me because it's two big jobs, this same company, you know, and it's a lot of money, you know. And I mean, I believe God to get where I'm at. I mean, I did. I believe God. Give me big jobs, less work, more money, God. Thank you, Lord. I receive it, God. Then I get the little spring. I got to change here and make $65. And you know, and I'm sick of this, God. You know what I'm saying? Can't do that. You got to say, praise you, God. With you, little is much when you're in it, God. God, I praise you that I got that little. And I praise you that I what am I doing? I'm working my way to my dream. See, they should have worked with God in their hearts, in their praise, in the wilderness, till they get to where they don't lack anything. That's what Jesus come to do, John 10:10. He says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And you know what? When sickness attacks you, it's just like, you know, I hear it and I've heard it for years. Oh, this pollen, I tell you, this pollen. This pollen is jacking my sinuses. It's jacking my sinuses. And I'll just get by myself and I'll go, ah, thank you, Lord, for that pollen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that pollen. I'm not allergic to anything, Lord. Hallelujah. I do it on faith, on purpose, Johnny. I mean, I'm doing it. I'm doing it out there because I'm not going to get contrary to by Jesus' stripes that I'm healed. I'm not going to get contrary to no weapons formed against me or prosper. Right? We have to work on these things to where we are not murmuring and complaining. When things are uncomfortable to us, that's the time that we need to exercise our faith and praise. Praise you, God. So I was telling God, thank you, Lord, that no weapons formed against me. I thank you, Father, that I don't lose nothing. What scripture you got based on that? No man leaves Father. No man puts God first, just simply. You don't put Him first. Put His Word first. Praise Him, hallelujah, and lose anything. But he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. And so, when you go through hardship, looks like you're going to lose, get that scripture out and say, not according to Jesus. And praise God, I'm going to believe Jesus rather than this report. I'm going to believe the Word of God rather than this report. Well, I cast that over on the Lord. That's one thing how that you stay in faith. They should have did it in the wilderness, but they didn't have the New Testament church scriptures like we have. But we've got weapons they don't have. We say, Lord, we just roll this over on you. We cast this, we give this problem to you, and then we're not going to take it back. We're not going to think about it all the time. We're not going, and if it comes again, you just cast it out again. You cast it down, and you replace it, and you come back and you say, nope, I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Well, I did that, you know, and all of that, you know, and cast them down and all that, you know. Then I finally got a solid answer from when this job could be here and all of that. Fear tried to work on me. It does you. You hear a rumor going around, they're going to close the doors. They're going to give you to lay people off. You know, your body will tell you, I'm too old to clean houses. Don't listen to that lie. No. If you're having little trouble doing it, just say, I thank you, Lord, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He gives you strength to do what you can't do within yourself. Well, I went on, you know, and I got, and so I had a text, did you know anything? And it don't matter what it is, whatever's putting pressure on you to try to get you fearful, to try to get you to give up, don't pray, what's the use? If it ain't one thing, it's another. You know, if you're sick, get you some oil. Slap it on your head. Anoint yourself. The Bible says that you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're sick, guess who you need to be laying your hands on? Right? Lay your hands on yourself. Hallelujah. I've did it one time. I've did it 1.5 million. Praise God. I just refuse to give in and stay sick. And if it does try to form, the Bible says no weapons that is formed. That means some things can form. But I was thinking about it today. I was thinking how God, before he could get me up into a lot of the promises of God, he may be paid for a Kirby vacuum cleaner. It wouldn't tear, it tore up and I signed a note and it tore up and I'm mad and I just went out there and throwed it over in the dump truck and probably cussed them a little and all that stuff, you know, and I wasn't going to pay for it. Y'all ain't going to come fix it. Like y'all said, then I'm not paying for it. I get saved years later. I get saved, you know, and I'm down and every time I go to pray at this particular time, I'm believing God to prosper me. And I go to praying, you know, and the Kirby would come up and I'd say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. I didn't learn to cast down. But you can't cast God's thoughts. That was God's thoughts. And I said, I made excuses. Lord, they won't do what they say. And then he said, that don't give you a right not to do what you say. And I thought, oh man, surely to God, he's not going to make me pay for that Kirby. And so I decided, you know, we sent him, I think, $10 a month. I don't know, remember what it was, it don't matter. I made up my mind, I owe them, and I'm going to pay them. And I didn't really realize what the scripture says in Isaiah 54:14. It says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. And then I go on later on and don't think I'm meddling. God wants to bless you and bless me and take me higher and prosper me and all of that, praise God. But I had to pay for the Kirby that they wouldn't. I paid for it. You know, the doctor, but quit griping about the doctor. He made me quit griping about going to the emergency room and them charging me so much. So when I got tired of the devil robbing me and that stuff, I started rebuking sickness and disease and you know, before you know it, I didn't need to go to the emergency room for the same thing. I started walking above that, up in the, and I thought about, I've had people before, you know, they say, well, our renters, blah, 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 our renters, and they don't do that, blah, blah. And I tell them, look, leave the place in better shape than what you got there, you know, regardless of what your landlord does. Now, I was talking to Christians. regardless of what. And I would tell them, because see, God can bless that. That's righteousness. That's doing the right thing because it's right, not because you feel they deserve it or they don't deserve it. Hallelujah. See, that's how they were overthrown in the wilderness. Their hearts would not stay thankful to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you know, I told one time, I said, what if these renters worked their whole life and went in debt and made payments on these houses and stuff for their future and all that, and that was their dream, and now you're trying to destroy their dream because you don't like the way they are? I said, what if it was you that bought all the houses, you know? Don't be one of them renters that does them wrong. Y'all quiet. The Bible says, swear to my own hurt, change not. That means even if it costs me to do the right thing, I let it cost me. I let it, but you know where it takes me? I'm high. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A few thousand can't break me. A few thousand don't even move me. Money don't even move me anymore. Not whether I got it or whether I don't got it, or whether I got plenty of it. God brings you to a place to where money means nothing but other than a tool, other than get things done, other than preach the gospel, other than He brings you to a place to where you are free from money. You know, money's an idol to broke folk. And money's an idol to wealthy folk, middle class folk. There's a problem when you don't have money. There's a problem when you have just enough. Then there's surely a problem when you have more than enough. Because all the way through all of those three stages, you got to be led. Romans 8:14 says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those that walk with God, these are the sons of God. Those that praise Him in the wilderness, those are the sons of God. And you know, Caleb and Joshua thought, I'm a Caleb. I'm a Joshua God. I'm not quitting halfway to the promise. I'm not quitting halfway when my marriage got pretty good and then I started acting up or she started acting up, and what's the use? Just throw in the white towel. I'd be bad. Then you get out there in the world and they say, I wouldn't have a woman. I wouldn't have a man telling me what to do, and they make even a vision even look better for you. Right? Boy, if I'd buy it myself, I was thinking about it today. When Teresa ain't home, I'm like, man, I wish she'd hurry up and get here. I wish she'd hurry up and get here where I could take a nap. I wish she'd get here, you know. I wish she'd get here, you know, and all of that, you know. And I want my wife home, right? When I'm there, I want her there, you know. Where a lot of them, I'm not going home. I'm going fishing after work. That wife of mine, that old lady, you know. But a lot of times, that she's a grapper. Y'all quiet. She's grapper. She's a complainer. Y'all ain't going to agree with me. I know how y'all women are. I've been around y'all in church for 30 years, and I've been married for 40. And I've went to men where they're not men, and I tell them, I'm not scared of your wife like you are. Get her out here, or I'm going in to get her. But I figured out people's people. We're just all people. Trump's just a person. Just a normal person. This got billions of dollars. Right? He's a normal person. He's like us. Well, ain't you going to be rich or what? They said, well, he went bankrupt 9 times. Well, if y'all didn't make yourself fat and wealthy off of us, y'all would have went bankrupt. Right? You got suckers in the church. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh, I'd come to church if I had $5. I'd come to church. Come to church when you ain't got $5. But I believe God that gas won't run out. He said He'd supply all our needs. I'll supply all your needs. He is the El Shaddai. It's the plowler, and then you start to get low on gas. Oh, I don't know if he'll make it or not. I thought it was El Shaddai, man. I thought it was more than enough. I thought he supplied all our needs, hallelujah. Well, when it comes down to where the testing of the word comes in, then you just jump in the car and you take off. And if you don't make it, you get out and say, glory to God, I'm going. And then somebody of the, I gotta pick them up. I'm scared to pick anybody up, but I don't know, there's something about this one, I gotta pick it up. They pick you up and take you on, hallelujah. See, that's what they should have done in the wilderness. It might not look like the promised land. It's hot out here. It's cold at night. I mean, he tells us, don't store up nothing. Just eat what you get. And it rotted when they did. Why? He wanted them to trust him so he could bring them in there where they would manage the fields and manage the homes and manage. Be good stewards, hallelujah. And you know what? I ride out and I just sit there in my garden. I got 4, 6 cabbage plants. And I just go out there and I just sit there. And I just look at them cabbage plants. I look at that one and I look at that one and then I look back and do it again. I just sit there 45 minutes just admiring. You know why? I'm enjoying what I planted. That's right. The Bible says that we will enjoy the works of our hands. Now, I'm still having a little hard time. I cursed a few of my plum trees last year, and they struggled to come out this year. I put the whammy on them. How many knows you can curse yourself? I mean, with your words. You know, I'll never be nothing. I'll never have nothing. If they'd give me a break at work, no, God's got the best break you'll ever get. He can exalt you. I did my brother's funeral Monday, and my old boss that I preach about here all the time, Jack, he was there. And I've seen him, he passed me by, and he's 82 years old, walks just like his daddy. And I thought, oh, man, I got to talk to him. So I go over there, and I said, hey, Jack, and he said, he gets you close and gets right up. You know, he's one of those kind of, he likes to look in your, he likes to get his message or something. I don't know. He's always been that way, you know. And so he gets me by the shoulder and pulls me up there and he says, hey, sugar. I said, hey, Jack. I said, buddy, I said, I preach about you all the time. I said, I preach. He studied this few, said, I don't know about all of that now. If you need to be preaching about me. I said, no, it's good, Jack. All of it's really good. It's really good. You know, it's really good. See, I wanted to go and tell him, you caused me to trust God. You call, and you because of the way you were, and the whole, there's about 30 employees at that place. And I used to be like them. We'd be standing out there by the burn pile, and it like there was two old like saloon doors you see on the movies, you know, that go, you'd go in the back door, and then you would go through, and it's, they were saloon doors into the, and when he came out, I mean, it's like he wanted everybody to hear him. He would hit those doors, and they'd go wham, like that. And when that sound would go, I mean, we would split, Jack. I mean, we ain't standing out there because he comes around that corner and he's just like a mad dog, just like a Tasmanian dog. He's looking for everybody. Where's everybody at? We're acting like we're sweeping. We're acting like we're... Well, I got born again, you know, and read the scripture over there where it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I'd read that scripture and I thought, I can't be scared of Jack. You know, I can't be scared of that. I can't be scared of him. Well, he's a man. You know, so we're out there one day and we're by the burn pile and burn barrel. And I need about 8, 7 or 8 of us, my brother, a bunch of them. And hear that door. And I looked around, everybody's gone. And I thought, bless God, I ain't going nowhere, Lord. I'm not scared of him. And he comes right down there to me and he gets by the fire and he says, where's everybody at, sugar? I said, they run hiding from you, Jack. What are you doing? I said, I'm standing here getting warm by the burn pile. Okay. And then he goes down there. Hey-ow! He goes to hollering. He gets all of them, you know. I thought, ooh, glory to God, that felt good. Well, so I got a taste of victory. The Bible says in Psalms over there, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, see, I wouldn't not being afraid of him because of rebellion, you know, but I was not going to be under the power of fear anymore. And see, God got me out of that zone into this peace zone to where, and you know what? I gained favor with God there, and I gained favor with that man. I gained favor with him, and I began to prosper. He began to give me raise after raise, you know, and let me off on Saturday. What I'm telling you is, see, I've seen the picture of them in the wilderness, and I thought, God's got me in this job. I was making $3.35 an hour. And some of y'all won't work less than $23 or $25. But I prospered at $3.35. Whatever it is now, people are, you can't make it off of. Even in the church, you can see it out in the world. I can't make it. You can't live off of minimum wage. No, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to live off of Jesus. You're supposed to take where you are, praise him. There was a young girl going to church here back there before we moved back here, and she worked down here at Jack's flipping hamburger, whatever. And she's complaining. You know, complaining. I said, well, listen, don't complain about it. I said, why don't you go? I said, number one, bring your tithe to the Lord. I said, and just begin to praise God for your job. Praise him. Praise him in the storm. Praise him for it. I said, you never know. You could own Jack's. Well, little did I know, or little did she know, she began to do that. And before you know it, she married a dude she became manager. Her husband became manager of Jack's. Both of them became managers. I believe if that had went on, God would have put them in their own business somewhere. You know, praise the Lord. But all I'm saying is that works, that gratitude, that grateful heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, don't praise God for sickness in your life. No. Praise him that you're coming out. Don't praise him that trouble, you know, don't praise him and make Satan think that God is putting hardship on you, but praise God through it. And you know what I've noticed in my life, that when I do that, some things move out of my way. And then some things, God gives me grace. And just like this last one, I had to walk in patience with this. It was the door cut. Wasn't no evil involved. I looked to see if there was any evil involved, if the devil was involved in any way. And there wasn't. And I've seen Christians just blame Satan for everything. How many knows that's ridiculous? You give him credit for where he ain't even doing anything. Well, I had to do, and anyhow, my breakthrough come. I got a date, the dude messaged me, and I picked up the phone, and the Bible says, the truth will make you free, right? Well, most people think that's just scripture. No, I'll just tell him the truth. And so I tell him, well, it is what it is. It's terrible. And I hate it, and I went through the bitch, you know, and I said, but the doors are going to be here so-and-so and so. He said, well, that's good, man. I said, I hate it because, you know, I'm holding up $75,000 of your money. I'm holding up $75,000 of his money, plus mine. Anyways, anyhow, he said, well, that's good. He said, you know, it's amazing they've not been on my case. He said, usually they done rolled me over the coals two or three times, you know, and everything. He said, but it's, and I'm thinking, that's favor. I've got favor. You've got favor. That's the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then when we got done talking, he said, now when you order them other doors, and I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. Same, just about the same job, same amount of money nearly. And it's like the peace of God came on me, and it's like God's like, I've had you all the time. But you was battling this stuff, learning how to walk and walk by faith. See, you think you walk by faith till your car starts messing up. Right? Lay your hands on that car. Bless God, lay your hands on that car. I was telling Travis the story the other day. Now people can believe it, and they've scoffed and mocked and thought I was a lunatic and all of that stuff. But I drove things and didn't get robbed for years. You can't rob me with cell phones and all that stuff, you know. I made up my mind, praise the Lord, things has to hold together and stay together and work till I get ready for it not to. Refrigerators. Travis wouldn't drive one of my trucks one time. Wouldn't crank with him. Fuel pump. That, put a fuel pump. I said, I'm not putting the fuel pump on there. When you get in there, lay your hands on it and command it. I said, command it. Well, somebody told me, that's stupid when you just buy a fuel pump. No, that's faith. I never did buy a fuel pump. I went to sell that, and my neighbor said, did you put a fuel pump? I said, no, I ain't put a fuel pump in it. He said, I checked that fuel pump. The fuel pressure was nothing on it. I said, it had to rise when I got in it. So next time I go around, the next few times, one of the mechanics come over and he said, I'll get your faith on this car, Pastor. They're trying to figure out how to fix it. I said, no, you use your faith. I ain't concerned about that car. Well, but what I'm saying, they saw it. They saw things happen. Hallelujah. He didn't believe the car would even run. The truck would even run. I laid my hands on it and I told Satan, I said, I'm blessing this right now. And I'm not going to be robbed by this right here, praise God. And I drove that truck. The guy that was working for me, he had driving and it wouldn't run but 30. I got in there, laid hands on that thing. I'm like God. Romans 4 over there, he says, and God, which calleth those things that be not as though they were, and the Bible goes on, said, and Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but believed that he was able to do what he said. And so I got that out of there. Don't stagger, you know. And I bring it to the church. Stagger not. Hallelujah, you know. Well, I mean, it's easy to get excited in here and hear the Word of God and faith come. But here is where the training comes in. The knowledge comes in. The knowledge of God, praise God, comes in. And then you go out and you walk out that knowledge. You walk it out. And you refuse to not to do the will of God. I believe the will of God is for you to be wealthy. If we're going to build a church for whatever it's going to cost, He's got to bless y'all and increase y'all and bring the money in, because that's just the way it is. But we can sit back. We're just a bunch of broke folk. You ain't a bunch of broke folk. He gives seed to the sower. You're just becoming a sower. Then he said he multiplies. Somebody say multiplies. He multiplies the seeds that I sow. Hallelujah. Mac, he won't let us give him an offering doing that, you know. And I thought, he's going to get rich on a lawnmower. He's sowing. He's sowing that. He's going to get rich on a lawnmower. See, I know that sounds way far off, but the Bible says give. It didn't say if you're on a lawnmower, under a car or a starter. He didn't say if you know. He says, give and it shall be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men to give into your billfold, your wallet. Hallelujah. See, you've just got to walk this thing out just a little bit further. Because the breakthroughs that you need are just right around the corner. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,